We've now come to the conclusion of our five-week study in the sixth chapter of John, talking about the Eucharist, talking about this great bread of life discourse. And so our first pope, St. Peter, says to Jesus, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." You know, there once was an American who was invited to an audience with the Queen of England. And so he relished this opportunity and wanted to throw himself completely into it. So what he had to do first was he had to go to a tailor shop in order to get a fine suit with tails so that he could have the proper courtly attire to be received by the Queen. Then he had to travel miles and miles over the ocean in order to arrive in England. When he arrived there, the first thing he had to do was to go and visit the ambassador, so that he could get his ticket to gain entrance. But when he went to the place, he had to be there 90 minutes before it even began in order to even get into the room, and then wait there for a long time until the Queen finally was able to come. What she did was with great fanfare, and she made a little speech to them all, and then each one had their name and title announced to the Queen, after which she had a little bit of polite conversation and then sent them on their way. The whole affair lasted but 20 minutes. 20 minutes. You see, when the Queen entered into the room, she had no idea who any of these people were. And when she left, she summarily dismissed them and forgot them. All of this fuss was something that this American man endured for a few seconds with the Queen of England. Now today, brothers and sisters, you and I are invited to have an audience with a king. There's no special clothing that you have to wear in order to come. You just come as you are, dressed modestly. You don't have to travel great distances to find him, but you can go into any Catholic church in the entire world and meet him. You don't have to have a special ticket to gain entrance because he's always available. You don't need to have a formal introduction. That's unnecessary, because he knows your name and who you are more intimately than you know yourselves. You don't just get a few seconds to chit-chat with him, but you can speak at him with great length, as long as you want. And he never grows tired, this king does, of spending time with you. You cannot be wearied by your pleas, talking about the most mundane of things or the loftiest. And when you leave, he does not forget your name. Rather, he is waiting anxiously for that next encounter with you, far more than you ever could with him. Of course, this king that we're talking about is none other than the King of Kings, than the Lord of Lords, than Jesus Christ, who is always present to us in the Blessed Eucharist, in the Holy Sacrament of the altar, giving us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Remember that a few weeks ago, we talked about the three ways in which Christ's presence remains with us in the Eucharist. One of them is that we have this enduring presence of Jesus through the Eucharist, through the Holy Mass. This means that our Lord's presence in the Eucharist does not disappear when Mass ends, but rather continues and perdures. That's why when we take all the hosts that are consecrated at Mass, and if they're not all consumed, we place them within the tabernacle. Recall that in the tabernacle means only the dwelling place of God, where God dwells. And so it's appropriate that we call it a tabernacle, because that is where God dwells, where he remains with us. This is why we adore the Blessed Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, because it is Jesus, because the sacrament is God. Imagine for a moment that somebody in the middle, toward the end of Mass, was to burst through the doors of the back of the church and to arrive only at the moment of the consecration and saw that the priest was holding this white thing between his fingers and wondering what is going on. They approach you after Mass and they say, "Hey, could you explain this to me? Like, what was that priest holding in his hands when the bells were ringing?" What would your response be? What is the most simple but direct and profound thing that you could say to this person to explain what just happened? What it is? what you ought to say is, it's God. It is God. The priest is holding God in his hand because the Eucharist is God. The Eucharist is the Blessed Sacrament. The sacrament is Jesus Christ himself. Do all laud, glory, and honor for all eternity. And this is why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is absolutely impossible for you or I to love the Blessed Sacrament too much. This is why we cannot show too much deference or too much honor to the great sacraments of the altar. We cannot desire more too ardently within our souls to receive the Eucharist in Holy Communion. That's why we treat this great sacrament with the respect we treat God himself, because God himself is actually there. It is actually God, not merely some symbol of God or of our devotion to him, but really him. That's what these whole words which we've gone through for the past 5 weeks in this Bread of Life discourse in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John say, that if we do not eat his blood, if we do not eat his flesh, if we do not drink his blood, we do not have life within us. That's why he gave us the Eucharist. The Blessed Sacrament is the only thing, my brothers and sisters, that we can adore here on the face of the earth. Not the crucifix, not these wonderful and beautiful statues which we have here in our church, not the priest, not the pope, not any relic or the word of God, which is the Bible itself, not the angels or the saints, not even the Blessed Virgin Mary, after whom our parish is named. No, we respect these things and we honor them. But adoration is due by right only to the Lamb who was slain, to Jesus Christ, to God himself, who has made himself present to us in the most holy sacrament of the altar, the host. Because there, God, made man, takes flesh for us. And so the church has taught this consistently throughout the whole of her history, since the very first century, up until now, deepening her devotion and her knowledge of what it is that we do at Mass, this great and august sacrament. And we demonstrate our love and devotion to Christ and the Blessed Sacrament through many ways, especially through Holy Mass. That's why you see the priest, after he has consumed the Eucharist, consumed the host, he begins to take the paten, that gold thing, and just sort of begins to scrape the corporal with it. That's why the altar server takes a paten and places it under the Eucharist wherever the Eucharist goes. That's why the priest holds his fingers together after he has touched Jesus, lest a little bit should fall carelessly to the ground. Because we believe that every particle is fully Jesus, and we do not wish to subject him to being trampled under our feet. This is also why, if we are so bold enough to retouch the Eucharist with our hands to receive him in Holy Communion, why we must examine where he touches, to see if there are anything that's remained behind on our fingers or on the palm of our hand. And reverently, if so, to lick that spot and to consume him, lest he should fall carelessly to the ground or find an ignoble place of rest within our pockets or any other place that he could fall. We all know that this tabernacle, which we've already talked about, is where the extra consecrated hosts for Mass are being stored, and that we have a very simple action which we perform each time before this, don't we? To recognize that God is there. What is that act? We genuflect, right? It's a genuflection. We genuflect. And what does a genuflection mean? To genuflect means to bend the knee. To bend the knee. And this is how the Roman soldiers would reverence their officers as they would pass by. So it is natural that the Christians, when they saw this, said, "Ah, we get this even more than they do. That's what we should do." So they appropriated it to themselves and genuflect each time they pass the Eucharist, or the Eucharist passes them, because it's not merely some officer who passes by, but rather the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is why each time we enter the church and we exit the church, we genuflect. Anytime we pass into the sanctuary or out of the sanctuary, we genuflect. When we go from one side of the church over to the next, what we do is we genuflect because God is actually present there. And we should not merely just genuflect. That's not enough. But we want to genuflect in order to show reverence with great devotion. You know, I've already talked to you about St. Francis de Sales. You remember him, that great bishop of Geneva during the Protestant Rebellion in the 1500s. And he was a man who had many enemies, but he was a man of great devotion within his life. It was well known that any time he would pass the Eucharist, he would make a profound sign of reverence through his genuflection. But there were some who didn't believe this was true. So I tell you, there was a young Protestant man who completely was opposed to this and actually uttered many blasphemies against the Eucharist because he didn't believe God was actually there. So he said, I will hatch a plan in order to prove that St. Francis de Sales himself does not believe it. He's only speaking these things. So what he did was he hid in the back of the church, along one of the side altars, spent there until late into the night, waiting and watching to spy upon him to see what he would do. So when Francis de Sales left the confessional at the back of the church, locked the doors, and began to process up, that's when he knew it was his time to creep out from his hiding place and to watch very carefully in order to leap upon him when he failed to reverence the Eucharist as he should. And so what happened was Francis de Sales, as he got to the foot of the altar, began to make such a profound act of reverence, slowly coming down to his knees, bowing before our Lord with great love, honor, and devotion. So much so was his devotion that that man who was completely opposed in the back sprinted up the aisles and knelt beside St. Francis de Sales and begged Francis to forgive him, to give him absolution and to receive him back into the church. See, Francis, his act of genuflection, all he did was demonstrate that he believed beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was present there within the tabernacle and to be adored. And through a simple act, done with reverence, his genuflection was enough to convert a sinner. If someone were to see you or to see me make our genuflection before Christ in the tabernacle, particularly someone from another faith, a Protestant, would it have the same effect on them? I know that some of our more seasoned parishioners can't do a full genuflection. It's hard. It's difficult. And I completely understand and I sympathize with you because I myself have difficulty with it too. I've had 2 knee surgeries on my genuflecting knee. I know that when it gets cold out, when there's high humidity, when things are like this, it's hard for me too, and increasingly so as time goes on. But we do the best we can to show devotion to Christ from the depths of our hearts through this outward action, even if we can't make it all the way to the ground. But what really makes me sad is that when I know that there are parishioners there that have nothing wrong with them in their health, yet they do not genuflect. Or if they do genuflect, they do so in such a sloppy and careless way that it would be better if they didn't. The truth is that the way that they approach this is they approach God as they are entering into the pews the same as they would if they were entering into a movie theater or into the stands at the rodeo or to a basketball game. It's sad because they don't know in whose presence they are entering into. But another way, my brothers and sisters, that we show devotion to the Blessed Sacrament is by coming and by praying with Him. Here, present in the tabernacle. To visit Him. And He deeply wants us to visit Him. Sometimes the Blessed Sacrament is placed in what amounts to just a beautiful gold picture frame. We call that a monstrance. And it's not that when Jesus is here within the monstrance that He's any more present, but rather, He's not more present, but what He is it elicits within us a deeper devotion because we can actually see the host. We see He who is nothing but love toward us, and it elicits within us deeper reverence. But one of the greatest things that we have within the church, one of the greatest rights and blessings that you or I could ever receive, is something which we call benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament. That's when the priest takes the monstrance and blesses us with it. But really, it's the greatest blessing because the priest doesn't bless us. That's why he wears a thing called a humeral veil, so that he doesn't actually touch the monstrance when he does it. To signify to everybody, it's not the priest who's blessing. It is Jesus Christ himself. If there's one thing that really saddens your pastor, it's that we don't have adoration more often here. Yeah, we're a little mission parish out here. Yeah, we're doing these things. We have security concerns. That's true. But to be able to adore our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament anytime we wish pours great benefits upon all of us as a community and as individuals. Because when we're afraid, when we're in difficulty, or when we're in distress and stressed out at our wits' end, when we don't know what's going on, when we feel like all weights and pressures are mounting upon us and we can't see a way forward, when we're stuck within depression, when we have these thoughts of self-harm that come to us or suicide, when these difficult things come to pass in our lives, and they do, we can run to Jesus and to sit within his presence and speak it out with him. Not only does it bring us individually great comfort, but I hope that we can figure out a way to be able to do this in the right way here at our, even here at our mission parish, because it allows us to love him more. It brings great graces to us, to our families, to our community, to the entire world, because one person alone before the Blessed Sacrament can garner graces sufficient enough to bring about the salvation of a single soul continents away. So powerful is this time before Christ. Here, my brothers and sisters, I can only rely on my own testimony, my own experience. Because I tell you the truth, I did not know our Catholic faith even when I graduated from college. No idea. But I listened to Catholic radio. And the Catholic radio told me, go to adoration. Spend some time with Jesus in the tabernacle. So I just obeyed and did. I went. And in that time, I didn't know what I was supposed to do there. I just went and sat in a pew by myself. Nobody else was around. But I knew Jesus was there. I knew he was there. And so the roof didn't open up. Angels didn't come down and minister to me. It was nothing big. But over time, in the silence, God did speak. And he spoke in such a way that I was able to listen to him. And in listening to him, I was able to hear that maybe I was being called to abandon a lucrative position at a real estate company, to go and to become a youth minister in some far-off place I had never been or dreamed of going to. There, I was able to adore the Blessed Sacrament every day. And in that silence, God spoke to me in such a way that I knew what he was calling me to be a priest of Jesus Christ, to give me direction for my life. And here I am today. You see, any time, because of that experience, any time I feel weak, any time I feel like I don't know what's going on, any time I'm at my wit's end and I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do here in the parish because I've never been a pastor before and it's really crazy, I can always go before the Eucharist to sit down in that seat and hash it out with God. He rarely ever gives me anything that I should do. Rarely ever fixes my problem. But what he always does is gives me peace and confidence that he's going to take care of me. And that he's going to take care of everyone I love. That it's not on me to fix my life or my parish. But it's his life and his parish first. And he's going to take care of it. So you see, my brothers and sisters, when we recognize that Jesus is actually here for us in the tabernacle, in the Blessed Sacrament,
we open ourselves to experiencing his enduring presence. And when we open ourselves to adore him with profound reverence in the Eucharist, even a simple act of our own genuflection done with reverence can be enough to convert a sinner. That's the story of St. Francis de Sales. But it also can bring you and I, and in our communities and our families, true peace and guidance in difficulty. It's all through recognizing God is actually here, through devotion and love. Brothers and sisters, we do have an audience with the King, with a King who is here, and he desires to speak to us. So in the silence of our heart, let him who is actually present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, speak to us. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.